Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shift podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, and welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. I'm your host, Christina Castanini. Now, I love it when I have guests on the show who are here to share their own personal stories. I personally know it is such an honor when someone allows us into their own struggles, and it's certainly not an easy thing to do. Today, I happen to have someone who is going to share their own journey with her eating disorder and body image. Believe me, she's very inspirational. So make sure you have a quiet space to listen and time to really focus. You won't want to miss this episode. Janelle Cartro is a blogger who is dedicated to helping women improve their self-love and body image. She spent almost 2 decades struggling with an undiagnosed eating disorder and hating herself and her body. Because of this, she has dedicated the last 4 years to learning to love herself and is extremely passionate about helping others do the same. All right. So welcome, Janelle. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
All right. So would you mind telling us a little bit about your background and your story and how you got all your Instagram started?
Yeah, I actually just started my account in November, so I'm still pretty new, but essentially, I, like a lot of us, I've struggled my whole life, as long as I can pretty much remember, with body image and like just dieting, trying to lose weight, all of those things. And I've come to a place in the last couple of years where I'm finally feeling really comfortable just in who I am and what my body is now. And just, I understand it's always going to change and all of those things. And I'm starting to feel a lot more confident in myself, and I've completely stopped dieting. All of those things, learning so much about intuitive eating. And I came to a place where I was really passionate about helping other people do the same and just learn, you know, how to love themselves and love their bodies as they are. I feel like it's something that all of us struggle with to some degree, and we're not really taught how to handle that. Or in fact, we're taught like detrimental things to that constantly. So I just really wanted to help other people do the same. And I've been following accounts, you know, body positivity accounts and intuitive eating accounts for quite some time, and it just felt right. And so I've been really enjoying it. And it feels so good to finally find a passion and feel like I'm able to help people with something. So
great. So, you know, probably other people are listening to this right now saying, okay, great. Like, I've been struggling too. And it's great to hear that you've gotten to this place where you're comfortable, but how on earth did you do that? So, you know, cause I think a lot of people are going, yeah, right. That's like utopia. How do you get to that point? So like for you, you said you've been struggling like probably your whole life. So like, where did you grow up? Like, what was your background like in terms of like, how did your struggle start? Or like, was it really little? Like, what do you first remember?
Yeah. I think I definitely started sort of, fearing being fat and like all of those things really young. Like I probably 5 or 6.
Oh my gosh, so young.
Yeah, I know. Wow. And I don't really know. I think probably a lot of that originated just with like how fat phobic our society is and all of those things. But I really started struggling probably around 10 or 11. I had some family members sort of encourage dieting, and like comment on my body. And my sister was always naturally thin. So she never really got any of that. So it started to create sort of this complex of her being better than me, or like that thin was better and that thin was somehow, you know, more worthy of love, all of those things. So I think it really ingrained really young, just because of, yeah, negative comments made about my body, like especially from family members, but also like, you know, kids at school and things like that. So yeah, I started dieting like at 10.
How did you even know how to diet at 10? I'm just kidding.
Like I said, family members were encouraging it. So it was almost more just like pushed towards that. Like they would, you know, we'd have breakfast or whatever, and it would be my sisters who were naturally thin would be getting, you know, French toast, for example, with like white bread and all of the things. And then mine would be like whole wheat bread because I needed to like lose weight basically and stuff like that.
And would they tell you that, or you just saw it?
They definitely said in so many words, like that it was for my health kind of thing. Like, and it was like, because I was like overweight and things like that, but they wouldn't specifically like say, you know, oh, you're not, you know, your sisters can have this, but you can't, or anything like that. But it was just like what was given to me. And I was too young to know that that was, you know, not okay. And like, and so, oh my goodness. Of course, I internalized all of that. And so I think that's, yeah, where it started, that. And, you know, I'd see probably, you know, ads and magazines and all of those things. And so it just started with like counting calories. And then I remember really young, like maybe around 12 or so, like I had been counting calories for a while, and I had, I'm assuming, lost weight because people started commenting on it and complimenting me and things. So then that like instilled it even further that being thin was better and all of those things. So yeah, I dieted from there until about a year ago. I kind of started trying to put more of a focus on health, like about 3 years before that, but I hadn't really figured out, like I was still under the impression that being thin was healthier and that I still needed to lose weight for health, even though I was starting to feel better about my body image. So that was when I discovered Health at Every Size and started reading that book and learning about intuitive eating. So a year ago was when I like officially was like, I'm done. I'm not weighing myself. I'm not going to, like, I think I was doing Noom at the time thinking it was like a better diet, right? And so I just finally was like, you know what, this is the last one I'm trying. And I think I've probably tried every other diet out there.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because I'm sure there's other people listening who think Noom is not a diet, right? Because I've read what is on there, and it definitely says it's not a diet, and it's
Just like all their ads say that.
Right, so you probably thought that too. So for anyone out there listening, like I've looked at the site, and it's definitely a diet, but like, what was your experience on it, if you don't mind sharing?
I definitely liked more of the focus on like noticing those habits and like noticing when you're eating, you know, maybe for emotional reasons or things like that. But there's so I definitely like that piece, like sort of, I mean, that is sort of a lot of, that's helpful in a lot of ways, like trying to sort of like catch yourself doing things that aren't serving you and like rewire those and change those habits. But they're still focusing everything, of course, on losing weight and monitoring your calories. And like, I mean, the moderation part is good, but I mean, Weight Watchers is all about moderation too. And it's obviously still a diet, right? Like, the focus for Noom is still based on intentionally trying to lose weight, right? So, I feel like that's the biggest thing that, like, that was sort of the final piece that I needed to get, was like, no, like, we don't need to try to lose weight. Like, you can still care about your health and not be actively trying to lose weight. Sorry, that was weird. I don't know why I did that.
Okay.
So yeah, it's better for your health, even if you're not trying to lose weight. So I feel like, yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I still was definitely feeling that, like, there's good and bad foods. There's, you know, there were those sort of harmful, like, thought processes. So I feel like I got to a point where I had read enough and I'd learned about intuitive eating and was like, this is still a diet. Uh-huh. And so I finally gave up on that. And I started working with a dietitian, not intuitive eating. And I mean, of course, I'm not perfect. I haven't gotten all the way, you know, all the way there, but it has helped so much. And I think my body image even has come so far since sort of rewiring all those negative thoughts about food and just like the moral value around food and all of those things.
Because even as you were sharing about like the French toast and that, just the little nuances, like the message about like, I got whole wheat toast versus white, right? I think hearing that, you know, because I hear so often like, oh, carbs are bad and white carbs are like the bad food and whole wheat's the good carb, and you know, just that ingrained. And it's like so interesting. It's like, where does that even start from? And it starts just from little things like that. And because I ask people like, well, how did you learn that, or where did you learn that? And it's like something little like that, but nobody even questions it. It's like, well, gosh, you know, like, who said that's healthy or a good food or a bad food, right? But like, you just kind of have these things happen over time. And right, you start like thinking, gosh, if I eat this, then it's bad, or, you know, it's instilled in you that like, oh my gosh, it's like this fat phobia that is so like prevalent and like just incessantly running in our society, and it's horrible. And then these foods like that are associated with it, and it's just awful.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if you just like enjoy whole wheat bread more or whole wheat pasta or whatever, then like, great. Right? Like, that's great. But I feel like, you know, yeah, like that, so many people just aren't taught that that restriction is what leads to like you obsessing over it. Like, I used to say all the time, I was addicted to sugar, addicted to carbs, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny now, like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess like you hear these things like probably one time and you believe it's true. And then you start telling yourself that over, you know what I mean? To the point that you can't even remember where it started. Like, I couldn't tell you where I learned that about like whole wheat being better. Like, I probably was super young, like just with the food, Canada's food guide, even, like, who knows? Mm. But, yeah, like even there's still some things I struggle with, like juice. Like I still feel guilty sometimes. I have to catch myself like, no, like there's nothing wrong with having like some orange juice or whatever. Like, so yeah,
that's so interesting. I hear that all the time. It's like,
I know,
there's these blanket things that I think, gosh, they're just universal. I hear that all the time. Like, gosh, I can't have juice. I have to water it down if I'm going to have it. And I don't know if that's something you learn, but it's like, how did this become like everybody's thing? Like whole wheat, no white anything, and if you're gonna have juice, it's bad, it's empty calories, you gotta water it down. And there's, I don't know if anyone listening, I'm sure there's people listening going, yeah, and believing it and feeling guilty for drinking juice, for goodness sakes. It's, and I remember in my own eating disorder, those were totally the rules, right? Like, no juice, water it down if you're gonna have it. Or have
flavor your water with it, like
right? Or the diet juices came out, and I was so thrilled, like the diet cranberry with a 10 calorie or this or that. And it's like I think back and go, gosh, that was so crazy making. What was going on there?
I know, and I think like we see it everywhere, right? Like it's the ads, it's commercials, it's, you know, even when you're in the grocery store, like they're advertising like low fat, low sugar, all of these things on everything, like gluten free on everything, like even when it's obviously gluten free items, like it just, right? I don't know, like it's, I feel like it just instills this like idea that things should be low fat and should be like low sugar and whatever. And then, you know, we've all been caught up in diet culture. I feel like at one point or another, no matter how thin you are, I feel like everybody has still had that, like, you know, oh, I got to get my summer body ready, or I got to, you know, like, I just feel like, especially since social media, I think it's like exploded even more just because of all of the comparison. But you can't escape it. It's like in TV that people are dieting and you're hearing these things, like you're dieting yourself and every diet you've been on tells you the same thing, like not to have too much sugar and not to have, you know, too many carbs. And I don't know. And there's so many even like just fear mongering type documentaries and things out there that make everything so polarized. Like, you know, sure, maybe having a piece of fruit does have more like nutritional value than a glass of juice, but that doesn't mean that either of them are bad or wrong or like, you know, I don't know. I think balance, you can have too much of anything. You can have too much water, like, you know, so I think balance is the key to everything, but like, and everything we learn in diet culture is polarized. Like there's good and bad about everything.
Right. And wanting to control it all. And what you're really trying to control is not really the food when it comes down to it.
Well, and the shame, like that you should be doing X, Y, Z. And then the second that you're not doing those things because you're human, now you have that whole other layer of shame on top of that. And it just doesn't lead to anything helpful.
Well, and it sounds like for you too, there was this whole other layer of comparing yourself to people you were living with, your sisters, right? And like, oh my gosh, that must have been horrible.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it actually, like, it's seeped into just like every aspect of my life, because it was like, I'd started with comparing our appearance, and then it became, you know, that having to look a certain way meant that I would be more loved or more liked or more worthy, all of those things. So then that just seeps into every other area of your life, right? I mean, people pleasing just constantly, and like, and just like assuming the only thing people notice about you is your size or your body in general, and like, and just how that impacts the friends you choose and the relationships you choose. And I feel like, yeah, that just, it became such a core piece of my identity, that even anything my sisters did, I was comparing it to, like, they were smarter than me. They were better than me in every way. And it all started because I thought being thin was better, and therefore no matter what, they were always going to be better no matter, you know, what it was. And I don't know, I think, like, thank God I had my mom, who was not at all a part of any of that. And she was she struggled with eating disorders growing up, and so she tried so hard to avoid that for me. And I mean, I don't think any of us can escape it entirely, just because diet culture and fat phobia are so pervasive in our society. But, you know, and she did thankfully help a lot. Like, I don't even want to know how much worse off I would have been had she not been there to sort of try to like remind me of like my worth and all of those things. But it's still like, the damage is done when a family member or anyone close to you really comments on your body or like negatively or does any of those things. So yeah, like I've done so much counseling and so much like working with life coaches and different things. And I'm just like, everything ended up rooting back to that like core piece of like not feeling worthy or good enough. So I don't know. And I think that's the biggest thing about doing this work on your body image and your diet and diet culture and all of those things, is that when you stop worrying about all of that, you have so much more brain space for everything else.
And oh, like, my gosh, absolutely.
And just like, you're, I don't know. I think it just really kickstarts that self-love like journey in general, and that, you know, there is no right way to do anything. We're all just like have to do what's best for us. And I think, it really helped doing this work just to get me to that point where to realize my worth. And that's really the only reason I have the mental capacity to be doing my Instagram page and like trying to help other people, because otherwise literally all I was doing all day was thinking about what I was eating and how I was moving my body and how many calories and what was good and what was bad and what I should be doing and what I wasn't doing. And like the list goes on forever. Right.
Well, so. Yeah. So like at your worst, do you think it was just like your whole world was consumed with just all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, of course, that ended up leading to like my eating disorder and finally, you know, coming into recovery and all of those things. And I think that's where it starts for most of us, is just dieting, right? And being told that we're not, our body isn't good enough, right? And then it becomes this obsession of trying to gain like acceptance and happiness and love and all of those things by changing our body. But at the end of the day, that doesn't work. Which I think if anybody who has successfully lost weight knows that, right? Like you get there and then you realize, oh, my life is still not perfect.
It's not all you thought it was going to be if you do get there, right?
If you get there, exactly. And then, you know, and then even if you do feel a little bit better about certain aspects of your life when you do lose the weight, then when you inevitably gain it back, now there's this whole layer that you've, again, like assigned all of your worth to your weight. Mm-hmm. So when you gain it back, you have that whole complex all over again, if not worse.
Right. And then it reiterates that whole, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, right? It's just this vicious cycle, and you're just chasing some carrot that you're never going to chase, because everything, you're not looking at your true value and your true worth, which is nothing to do with the external.
Exactly. I mean, like you change your body and you think you'll feel better about it, but you might feel better about your weight, but you move on to, you know, your cellulite or your wrinkles or your like whatever. There's always something unless you're doing the work, you know, internally and on your thoughts. I don't think there's changing your body is just unfortunately never going to actually improve your body image, at least not long term.
So was there like a point where you just like hit a wall or some moment where you said, oh my gosh, this is an eating disorder, I need to change everything, I need to get help or reach out, do something different?
Yeah, it started when I first started following different like self-love and like body positivity accounts. It's funny because I know now I've was struggling with binge eating disorder for like years. Mm-hmm. Just like the cycles of restriction and binging over and over and over again. And I saw a post about it on Instagram and I had never heard of it. Like I'd heard of anorexia, I've heard of bulimia, all those things, but nobody, I had never heard of binge eating disorder. Ever. And then, like, I mean, I'd heard about anorexia and bulimia and knew people that struggled with that and all of that so many times. And so I remember reading it and being like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And like, cause reading like what she went through, and I was like, isn't that just like normal? Or like, maybe not normal, but like, isn't that just like dieting? Like trying to be healthy. Like I felt like my brain just like exploded. And so I started looking into it and was like, holy, like that is absolutely what I've been struggling with my whole life. And so at that point, I reached out, or I started following a few sort of, I had already started learning about health and every size at that point. So I started following some like health at every size, dietitians and things like that. And I came across one that I sort of really resonated with and, did, like a program with her just virtually. And, yeah, it helped so much. Like, awesome. And I mean, I never got actually diagnosed. And I think that's the case for a lot of people, especially with binge eating disorder, because mm-hmm. it takes so long for you to even realize that you have an issue, let alone that it's like something you can do anything about. And so, and not to mention so many eating disorder specialists, like, are still very fat phobic and still, you know, treat, you know, binge eating disorder maybe, but still have a focus on weight loss and things like that. So it was really important to me to find someone that wasn't like that. And the program was just absolutely amazing. Like I had already read the intuitive eating book, but it helped so much to sort of apply those and really start working on my recovery and being aware of why I was binging and all of those things. And so I think, yeah, like when I can still remember the exact post, and I just was like, oh my God, like not only do I maybe like need help, but like I didn't even know there was help out there. So like it felt kind of crazy to like have that realization, but also such a relief to know that there was almost like nothing wrong with me. Like it was something that like a lot of people have gone through, and that it wasn't just that I like had no willpower and sucked at dieting and all of those things that I felt like, because I just kept failing, quote unquote, every diet, and you know, feeling like I could never control the cravings and all of those things. But it was a vicious cycle because diets were causing the cravings and the binging. And yeah. So yeah, I think that was really the moment when I just was like, holy, I need to do something. Like, and yeah, I'm so glad I did.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's the hardest thing for people to take in. Or even when I say that to people who come see me, they still kind of like balk at it. Like, no, you don't get it. Like, I'm a failure. Like, I just need to try harder. No, I just convince myself I'm just lazy. Or it's like, no, you have an illness. It takes a lot to kind of sink in, because I think you're right. Like the diet culture and mentality is just so loud. And, you know, binge eating disorder was the last, you know, illness to get into the diagnostic manual. So it's still relatively new, right? And
yeah,
I don't know how many medical doctors even like believe in it, if you know, or really adhere to it, right? It's still like, no, yeah, just exercise more and eat less. And they don't really kind of think of binge eating disorder, right? So I think, thankfully, you're saying this, you know, so for anyone out there listening, like, yes, it's not a choice. It's not that you're a failure. It's not that you're lacking willpower. It's a real illness. And you know, there is help out there for you. And, you know, as you mentioned something about a specialist still being fat phobic, and I'm wondering, did you have that experience? I just wanted to hear about that.
Not like specifically, but like just in my research, like, talking to other people who, you know, had gone through recovery and stuff like that. That was like one thing I kept hearing was just like, make sure like you're finding, you know, a specialist who isn't focused on weight and who is, you know, size inclusive and all those things. And because I'd already been learning about the movement and all of that, I knew that like fat phobia, of course, was so pervasive in like the medical industry that I was worried, like just even going to the doctor, like the first thing that they always tell you is, oh, you're obese or you're overweight or whatever. Like the first thing they do is check your BMI. And like, and so I didn't like, since learning about all of this and intuitive eating and everything, like, not like that I've lost trust in doctors altogether, but just like I've lost trust in doctors in like the sense of like health, or not health, but like, dieting and like weight loss and BMI and all of those things. So I just like, I didn't want to go that route. I didn't feel like, I did some research sort of like for local clinics to do, a program in like my own city, like in, not necessarily inpatient, but like in person. And everything on like all the sites that I could find was, entirely focused on anorexia and bulimia. And so I just was like, if they're not even mentioning it on their website, I don't think that they're going to be the most helpful for me. So That's when I started looking at Instagram for sort of like a virtual program I could do with a coach, and I ended up finding a dietitian who actually did work in eating disorder clinics and things for years. So she was really helpful in that aspect without having to go through sort of like the typical channels locally.
Great.
Yeah.
So then when did you start your Instagram account?
Just in November.
Okay. Oh, that's what you said. Right. Yeah. So like, was that hard for you, or was that like, how did you get to that point? You're like, okay, let me start this.
I had been thinking about it for a while, but there definitely was a lot of like, oh my God, like, what are people going to think? Especially as far as like the people, you know, in my own life, my peers, my coworkers, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's such a sort of niche market still that mm-hmm. like, once you're in it and you start following all those people, it feels like it's like all you see and that it's totally normal. But there's still vast majority of the people in my life, like, of course, had never heard about Health at Every Size or like anti-diet or body positivity or any of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the self-love and self-help sort of industry is like often sort of like looked at as like silly or or like woo-woo or whatever. And so I definitely had a lot of that like fear, just like, what were people going to think and all of those things. And I think I just got to a point where I didn't care about all those people that were going to think that. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I want to find the people like me who are so sick of dieting or who don't even know this exists, but that need to know it exists. Like mm-hmm. the right. people that, you know, like me that found those profiles on Instagram the first time and was like, my God, nothing's wrong with me. Like I need, you know, I don't know, just, I really felt deeply that it was so helpful and so like monumental for me in my life that I didn't care about what judgments I was going to get as long as there was still going to be people that I was helping and that would see it and realize, you know, not only that they're not alone, but that they're not broken, they're not wrong, they're not, you know, all of the things that I feel like we so deeply believe when we're deep in diet culture.
No, and that's one reason I really wanted you on the podcast, is because I thought, and I went, oh, she's got it, like, this is exactly it, you know, like, I think there's so small of a voice, but the louder, you know, that voice can get, and the more people that hear what you're saying and see Instagrams like yours, you know, I know the diet culture voice is, like I said, so loud, and it's like this multi-billion-dollar industry, but you know, it's getting louder, and it's so refreshing to see. And, you know, hopefully it'll, you know, build lots and lots more momentum. And that's the whole part about it, right? It's like you had that experience, right? You saw it and you went, oh wow, right? Like, and I remember having that same kind of aha moment when I read Health at Every Size. It's like, wow, okay, this is different. And I think people do have that experience, you know, and kind of like rethinking things. And that's exactly what needs to happen, is just kind of opening their eyes and going, hey, this doesn't have to be the way it is. Maybe there is another way. Maybe this is all wrong. Like, that's nice.
Exactly. I mean, I think we're so conditioned not to question all of those things that like, it feels like it's just true. Like it's just us like speaking facts because we've heard it so many times. But I think it's one of those things when you read it, like at first I was kind of like, well, how do I trust this if like everything that I've ever learned about diet culture is wrong? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of realized, I'm like, diet culture is benefiting off us believing those things. Like they're profiting off us believing these things about ourselves. Whereas, sure. I mean, they're selling a book like Health at Every Size or whichever book it is you buy. But once you buy the book and you do the work, like you don't have to spend money on it anymore. Like they're basically rendering themselves useless, like the more people that they help, do you know what I mean? So I think when I realized that, I was like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, like why would they're not benefiting from it? So you know that like this must be coming from like a true place. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like when you look at funding for different health, like your nutrition studies, it's like, well, it's funded by Coke. So who's really benefiting off of you teaching us this, right? So I think like that mindset sort of helped me to really like believe in it. And I was like, and just, yeah, the more you learn, the more it's so obvious how true it is. And like, the more you actually start doing it, and like my cravings and like my obsessions and all of those things just like went away. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I don't think I fully believed it until I did it. Right. And like started to see the results, but just that like relief that there's, you know, that maybe you've been learning the wrong thing this whole time, you know, that maybe you're not like a total failure. It's, I don't know. I just remember reading the book and feeling that and just being like, I need everybody around me to know about this.
Yeah. And yeah. Like wondering for you too, like now, do you even think like, gosh, my value, my worth is dependent on my external? Or are you finally at the point where you're saying like, no, I have more value and worth that's based on other things and other qualities about me?
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, there's still days where, you know, I look in the mirror or whatever, and I'll have those bad body image days. But it's become so much quieter and so much easier to just remind myself, like, especially even just going onto my Instagram and seeing, mm-hmm. because I filled it with so many like uplifting things, I remember pretty quickly like, no, that's, you know, those are just old thoughts that are popping up. And I don't know that that really ever goes away. I'm sure like everybody, no matter how long you've been doing this, still have those days. But it's so much easier to pull myself back into that, like, no, like I'm so much more than what my body looks like. Like my body is good no matter what it looks like, all of those things. Like, I think there's certain things that I've thought about enough, practiced enough, that they sort of come to me quicker now, but it takes time. Like at first I would maybe be stuck in that bad body image place for like a few days before I'd finally be like, okay, no, like I need to, like, I'm good the way I am, like all of those things. Right. And then it sort of went in waves, and I find it just comes less and less, and it's easier and easier to shut those thoughts down. Yeah, I think like the more people that can learn how to do that, the more mainstream, you know, this will all become. And I mean, I don't know that I can imagine a world where diet culture just doesn't exist at all, but I mean, that'd be amazing. But at the very least, I think with time, the more people that do this work and want to help other people do the same, the louder that message will be. And, you know, people can subscribe to whatever they want, but I think once you at least try it, you realize how much better it feels than being stuck in diet culture.
You're obviously inspiring lots of people. Your Instagram's fantastic. And, you know, for anyone listening, like, how can they find you on Instagram? Because I think you're such a benefit to so many. So like, how can they find you?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Normal Not Wrong on Instagram and on Facebook. I am working on a website and other things to come. So if you're following me there, then you'll see those updates sort of coming. I'm really passionate about it. And I really hope, you know, whoever is out there that's in that place that I was a couple of years ago, we'll gain a lot from it. Help keep spreading that message.
Awesome. Yeah. And anyone listening, like, I'm going to have all that information on the show notes on the website too. So don't worry if you didn't get that down, I'll have all of Janelle's information there. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm happy to have people reach out by DM or whatever, anytime. I love talking about this stuff and helping people. So
that's great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's been great to have you here. You have such a great story and such an inspiration. So I really appreciate you spending the time talking and doing all that you're doing. Like I said, I love watching everything you post. So it's just great to actually have you here and talking. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here and I'm so glad to have the opportunity. So I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.